One thing about, I'm looking at the time because it's a dangerous thing. How many preachers are they handing the microphone to? I hope you had a big breakfast, I mean. Hallelujah. One thing about me, I am a good student. I always have been. I still am today. Just who I am. And so every one of these messages were so filled, so packed to me, I could not nearly glean from them all the truth that was in them. And I want to glean. I don't want to miss a crumb. I don't want to just hear it. I want it to become bone of my bone. It needs to become me. So I'm going to be going through them again, each and every one of them, at my computer. I'm kind of like Jim. Jim likes to do this too. You play the message where you can pause it. See, you really don't want to do that right in the middle of Alan's service. Alan, wait just a minute. Wait. You know. But I can do that without interrupting him with my computer. But let me just capsulize. I try on every service to write a one sentence. And sometimes it takes two or three. But it's a synopsis. What are you saying, God? What are you saying? Now, I'm going to read you my synopsis of every service. And you see if you don't see a common thread running through here. The first official service was Sunday night. I did that one. Of course, we call that one Winning the War of Wills. Okay. If we don't submit our will under His, the world is never going to see Jesus through us. And that's exactly how He did what He did. He says, I don't even consult my own will. I'm here to do His will. The world needs to see Jesus through us. Bronk was next, and he talked again on the transition into power. Did a masterful job again. And it reminded me he's taught that a couple of times at his church, but I thought it was even more in depth this time. But a big part of that message is there's no such thing as change without change. Stop defaulting to your strength. You're already strong there. So if you're strong, some people are real strong in worship. Well, good. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Thank God He is too. What about prayer? No, I don't like prayer. What about the word? No. So if we're going to transition into power, He did not give us all these keys for nothing. And I was thinking in that one how Dave said, fasting will give you what praying in tongues cannot give you. It will never give it to you. Now, praying in tongues will keep delivering you back to fasting until you eventually do it. That message to me is stop defaulting to your strengths because He's wanting to take us beyond where we've already come. Okay, see what I mean? I'm trying to. Then the next one was Jim. And boy, was that. I've listened to every message both of these guys have preached for 20 years. I've never heard that. Not the way Jim brought it this time. But corporate worship. Now, we're not demeaning or diminishing private worship. That's so important. In fact, in my personal opinion, if you don't begin private worship, you're probably not going to participate in the corporate. Okay? At least that's been the path for me. But corporate worship brings His manifested glory, or you could say His manifested presence, because where He is, the glory is. That good stuff. Then it was Hans. And I love the transparency of Hans. You know, he heard God, he got excited. I've given you Africa. We've all been like that at times. God said, I'm telling you, God said, and God really did say. So he's rushing around getting ready to go. See, here's a good thought. Meditate on this. When the Lord says, soon, what does that mean to a being who lives outside of time? What does soon mean? From the time that Joseph had his vision of his family bowing down until that actually happened was 22 years. About a quarter century with Abraham and Sarah having their child. But anyway. So anyway, what I wrote is Hans, his message was hearing God. See, you got to hear God, but then you got to wait on God. Now, many of God's principles are now. Now faith is. Healing is for you today. Salvation is for you today. But God, Jesus, is alive and well. He's the head of the church, and he has plans. Remember Paul and Silas? They were, what are we going to do? Maybe we should go to Asia. No. Maybe we should go to Bithynia. No. He sent them to Macedonia at that time because that was the plan of Jesus. Now, later on, he did send them to Asia, which was Ephesus. So the important thing there is it's important to hear God. Stick around for the timing of his plan. Find out. He's got a, I like all of them. He doesn't always answer why, but how. Or first you got to know what, when, where, how, and then sometimes why. Sometimes. Pastor Celio, did you enjoy that message? He's outstanding, I think. Anyway, I wish he'd have had more time to really tell you more about his testimony. Now you heard him go the la 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 thing. See, and you think your tongue's as weird? You think he didn't have to fight through? You're just making that up. But it was real. I don't know if he actually said it, but he said it to us before. That lasted a year. That was a year. And finally he says, Lord, can I please have something besides la, la, la? Isn't that fabulous, though? But see, can you tell he's a pure blood evangelist? John 3:16 is all you need. Love him. Every pure blood evangelist I've ever known is pretty much like that. But his message was so true. Again, hearing and obeying the voice of God. Are you starting to see a common thread? Hearing and obeying. Submit. Once you hear him, you got to submit your will under his will. Okay? Alan, this time he said it different. Normally when he's teaching this, he talks about two paths. Or he talks about two trees. So I've heard both of that. This time it was two relationships. And that was different. But what he's talking about, there is a path that will get you to heaven. And that's believe in Jesus and work for Jesus in your own, whatever your church has you do that. That'll get you to heaven, for sure. But like he says, it'll never get us to revival. See, it won't get us to revival. So this time, I'd never heard him say it this way before, at least not here, but he said, there are two levels of relationship. As part of the body, and that's your calling, and as a child of God, and that's who you are. Operating by the first path will get you to heaven. But operating on the second path as his child and maturing, that determines your authority. So does, because on that path you will be pruned of all the things that are hindering your authority right now. Hallelujah. So go get God's love. All right, Jim, again, he worship brings out his glory, part two. I had never heard this before, and I think I heard Jim say he'd never really taught it before. But when we really do corporate worship, and he showed us from Scripture, one thing I like about Jim, see, now y'all know where I get all my stuff. Because Jim not only studies the Greek and the Hebrew and he'll study the common language at the time and the scholarly language at the time, and he'll do his historical, and he has the feasts worked into it. By the time, how many tapes is in your series on baptism, water baptism? Six messages on water baptism. By the time you get through, by the time he gets done with you, you just go, that's the truth. I surrender. It's over. That's the truth. Hallelujah. All right. And all three members of the Godhead participate in our worship. I had never heard that before in my life. Never heard that. I'm going, okay, let's go. Start worship. All right. Bronk again. Oh, a Rembrandt. a Picasso. Here's what I wrote. Real, I don't know what title, but Real Authority for Warfare. And he brought out something I'd never noticed. I'd just never heard it or seen it before myself. Although later it will be my revelation. Quickly. I'll call, I get all excited. I'll call Jim or Bronk. You know, usually Bronk is the teaser. But I'll call him and he goes, that is really good, Gary. Man, that's good. Then he'll say, now when's the next time you get to preach? Oh, next Sunday, he said, I'm preaching Wednesday night. They'll never believe you had it first. They'll never believe it. I love that. I love it. How about this, though? There's two warfares described in the book of Ephesians. The first one is the toughest one. It takes there's 5.5 chapters written on you winning the war over your flesh before he ever gets to just a half a chapter of having authority over principalities and powers. But if you don't win the first 5.5, it's not. Did you love the picture of the dog smoking and playing cards around the table? That's really the devil sitting around, you know, and they've got you in a cell already. You just don't know it, you know, if you haven't won the war of the flesh and you're over there, I rebuke you. And they go, would you shut up? Dave would say, no, you rebuke us when you quit lying. And then last night, it seemed like I'm missing one. Maybe I'm not. But last night was, I put on it, manifested glory. By hearing and obeying his voice. Are you catching any kind of a theme? Manifested glory by hearing and obeying his voice. You show your love for him by doing what he says. And that brings us back to the first message. That means surrendering your will under his will. Then the Lord capped it off with, you're already hearing him. You really are already hearing him. Otherwise, you couldn't speak with other tongues. I'm telling you, if we incorporate these messages where they become bone of our bone, people won't be encountering you as a person who loves Jesus. When they encounter you, they will encounter Jesus. Amen. Alan.
Praise the Lord. You know, when God continues to build us as a family and knit us together, there's three basic things we have to agree on to be family. Not in the overall sense. Everyone in the body of Christ is family. Anyone saved is family. But he has specific missions for people and groups. And for us, it means that we have to have the same heart, that we're all servants to the people. We're not rulers or celebrities, kings. We're servants. We serve God and we serve people. And we're never above another man or another woman. We're beneath them, holding them up and lifting them up. And we see the value in each other. That God's call on you is as important as God's call on me. So why would I suck all your life out of you for my call? What gives me the right to do that? So when we have a heart of a servant, then you look at someone and you don't see opportunity. You don't see their value to what they can give to you. I had one guy, he's a preacher, and he calls everyone his son. You're my spiritual son. You're my spiritual son. You're my spiritual son. You're my daughter. You're my spiritual son. If you like him on Facebook, you're his spiritual child. And then he would hit you up with finances. Like all the spiritual children are supposed to raise funds for their spiritual father. And I thought, well, that's convenient. And then they asked me about it. And I said, well, I have one son. He's 16. And he's never given me money. He's cost me. You know, if you're going to call someone your spiritual son, you have to look at it like, oh, Lord, you're going to be a lot of work. Not, what can you do for me? See, and so when you have the heart of a servant, when you see people, you put value on them in God's eyes. That their calling, them walking into their calling, is just as important as you. And so you stop trying to rule over them, get them to follow you, get them to serve you, to serve your vision. How many came out of a church where if you didn't follow the pastor's vision, you were in rebellion? You're not under your covering. The pastor's vision is to be, you're my children. I'm here to support you, pay for you, and help you to grow up and succeed. So being a servant at heart is something that all of us are being cornered in by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you spend enough time praying in tongues, he'll tell you the same thing as he tells me. And eventually we'll have the same heart because we don't quit praying in the Holy Ghost. The second thing is doctrine, that we all have the same basic foundation. You know, I have friends who are wonderful ministers, but I wouldn't send my children to get counsel from them because the counsel they'll get from that person is different than I would give them. And see, it shouldn't be like that. The advice, the love, the counsel, the teaching, the doctrine about God, the pathways to finding God and walking with God should be the same from all of us if we have the same teacher. So growing together in doctrine, and that's why these conferences are so important, because I have Man of God with Gary and Pastor Bronk and Pastor Jim and others, that if my doctrine is bouncing off of them and hitting the floor, then I stop it and question it. You know, like there's safety in that. And now doctrine isn't built by us communicating. I don't say with Pastor Bronk and like, well, let's talk about what God's saying to the church today. That's not how doctrine is produced. Doctrine is produced in the prayer closet from the Holy Spirit, put it into a person. But doctrine is sharpened and adjusted amongst the brethren, amongst each other. And so when you hear Bronk, who's a pastor, Bronk's like a real full-blooded pastor. And you hear the fisherman and a full-blooded evangelist. You know, and you hear Brother Gary, who's like, well, he's a teacher, prophet, pastor, evangelist. And Jim, you hear him teach and the pastor and him. But when you find out, man, we're all saying similar things from different viewpoints, but it's the same heart, the same truth. See, that builds us as a group together, saying the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. And see, you can't make yourself believe. You have to grow in the things of God. I'll share more of that in a second. The third thing we have to be in unity on is that we practice the same lifestyle. That, what do you do with your spare time? I pray in the Holy Ghost. I worship. I fast. I meditate the word. And you know, why do you guys keep saying that? Well, because we've learned that that's the only way to grow in more of God. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Gary talked about the will that Jesus had went to war with. I want to ask you a question. Jesus, if you got to talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'd like to interview you. Do you want to do the will of God? What would his answer be? Jesus, do you want to do everything God tells you to do? What would his answer be? Yes, just like yours is. So when he was sitting there in the field, sweating blood, as Gary talked about, battling wills, Which will, where was that will of rebellion coming from? Where was that fight of desire to not do what God asked him to do? Where was that coming from? See, that's an indication of your outward man has desires for you that are not the same as yours. They're not the same as God's. So when you go up and you decide to get up early and pray in the morning, and you hear at your snooze button, you hear a little voice say, you know, you need extra rest. You've been working really hard. We'll pray tomorrow. Where is that desire, anti-will of God, coming from? That's your outward man. Jesus had to win it, and that proves to you, you can win it. Pastor Bronk taught, we read the one blueprint. Tug you up. I'm going to grow you up. Jerk you up, that's right. I'm not going to jerk you up. I'm going to grow you up. That's so profound. I'm not going to jerk you up. I'm going to grow you up. That's two different pathways. Growing up means if I want it, I got to grow up. Where's my preacher, Avery? Come on up, Avery. Here she is, 11 years old. See, we know about hearing God's voice and obeying God's voice. How old's your little brother? Caleb's 4 years old. I'm afraid to ask him to do anything because he's got the ability to say no. But see, Caleb can hear my voice. And he's 4. He can obey most of the time. But he's 4. Avery's 11. She'll obey all the time. And she can hear. But what is she limited in? She's limited by her lack of age, her lack of maturity, for me to tell her to do something more than she can handle. And see, we have entire organizations telling people to go out and do things that's way above the maturity level. And they go out and they fall and they fail and they eventually give up. They give up trying because, you know, I prayed for this person, they didn't get healed. That preacher said they did it and they got healed. How come I can't? Well, I guess I'm just not good enough. Growing up means if you want more of God, you want to hear God tell you something different. Man, I've been praying, and all God's telling me to do is sit and pray. When's he going to tell me to go and do? Can't I just go and do? Shouldn't I be out doing something? He's telling me to sit and pray. Well, he's telling you to grow up so he can eventually tell you to do something that you can walk in when you're mature enough to do it. So don't be anxious in not being asked to do stuff yet. Be excited about the possibility that by the pathway of love or the tree of love that we talked about, you can grow up to where all things are possible. Where you don't need an evangelist to pray for the sick, you can do it. God will use you. We've got enough groups out there doing all the other stuff. We don't need another one. We don't need another organization. You know, every 2 months in Tulsa, a new church opens up and they're better at praise and worship than the other church. They're better at kids' church. They're better at something, so they gather a bunch of people and they harvest people from church to church. I think we probably get one person born again a year in Tulsa. The rest are just shifting churches every few months and to the newer, better place. Well, you know, bless them. All right, that's they're doing what God can trust them with. That's not our calling. We're not called to do anything better than anyone else. We're called to walk in this, take a group, a family, and walk together as a body where every preacher isn't above you telling you, look how God is using me. What's wrong with you? But every preacher is saying, we're here to support you so you can grow up and we can all grow up. And eventually the whole body is doing everything together, walking together. I want to read to you. You can stay up here. You're making me. No, you stay right here. You're making me look good. They're nicer when you're standing here. You can sit down if you want. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're preaching me tired already. I won't take long, but I want us to see this because we're supposed to reflect a little bit. I'm trying to do what Gary did and a little less fancy, but bring in all the messages. There's this one imagery, and God speaks to me mostly in imagery. I see the images underneath the words, and that's how I preach. And I always get so excited when I hear someone teach what I saw in imagery. And that's what happened with Pastor Jim when he taught something. And so I'm going to just read quickly here, Colossians chapter 3. And we'll just read verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's your outward man. That's the source of your will, your desires that are fighting you when God tells you to do something. And have put on. In Canada, I was raised by fear of getting a beating, that if you walked into a house with your shoes on, you would get a beating. So as soon as you walked in the door, you just took your shoes off and left them at the front door. And there'd be, if you had 10 kids, there'd be a pile of shoes. When I moved down to Tennessee, they don't do that. So we'd all walk in the house, and I'd throw my shoes off, and everyone would wonder, what are you doing? If you got to put something on, it means you're not wearing it. If you got to put something off, it means you have it on. And so here's an indication of, it's not as simple as, brother, just walk in what God has for you. See, there's a message that's being taught, and it can't fit with our message. Because God's not going to jerk you up and ask you to command you to do something you're not mature enough to handle. He's not going to jerk you up. He's going to grow you up. Well, how do I grow up? Well, pray, fast. Worship. Well, can't we just get rid of those things? Can't we just skip all of that? You just lay hands on me? Can't you just prophesy over me and activate my calling? Verse 10, and a put on the new man, say new man, which is renewed in knowledge. This is important to see that. According to the image of him who created him. So the new man here is where the renewal of knowledge takes place. God told me in an image, he said, in a vision, he said, I did not tell my church to conform into Christianity. I told them to transform. And so many people are taught how to act like a Christian. You should love like a Christian. You should behave like a Christian. You should walk like a Christian. You should do like a Christian. But they change their life to think, act, walk, but they don't transform. They don't become like Christ. They act like Christ. And you can only act like Christ until you stop. But if you become like Christ, that's all you got to offer. So it says here that the new man here is talking about your inner body. See, the new man is the inner body that was brought to life by the new nature. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Your inner man is like an infant the moment you're born again. How many know that? I don't have to go through all the scripture. Your new man's like a newborn. It has no knowledge of God. It's empty. But now that it's been born again, maybe you heard the term born again human spirit, regenerated human spirit. There's lots of different terminology, but basically it means your inner man, your inner body, is now alive and lit up and created in righteousness and holiness. The new man now is where the knowledge of God goes. So when God speaks to you in prayer, when God speaks to you and talks to you, that's where that deposit of knowledge goes, is in your inner man, not your outward man. Your outward man is left unfruitful. And you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. That's where the renewal of knowledge takes place. See, he's not asking you to fix your natural thinking. Now, I want you to quit thinking like the world and start thinking like the Bible. Okay. But your natural man, he couldn't tell you to do that before you were saved. He's not telling you to change the way you think. He's telling you to renew the knowledge of God. Put the knowledge of God in your inner man. And from there, you mortify the thoughts of the outward man. From a distance, it looks the same, but it's a miracle that takes place. You have an ability. Doesn't matter if you're called to be a prophet or a pastor or a teacher. You have the ability to think the thoughts of God, to know the thoughts of God, to let that knowledge become your anchor of all your decisions. What a miracle. You can think like God. That's a miracle. See, when you pray in tongues, where does that knowledge go when God tells you the mysteries and the secrets? Not to your outward brain, to your inward brain, your inward mind, your spiritual mind. That's the new man. I'm going to look at another verse here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm saying all this because of what Pastor Jim said, so this is his fault that I'm talking so long. Ephesians chapter 4. So we saw that the new man is renewed in the knowledge of the image. The image is the new nature. Inside of you, the moment you're saved, God put, inserted in you, took out the old nature and put in a new nature. And inside of that nature is the image of Jesus and all of his holiness and all of his love and all of his peace and all of his joy of Jesus. That is in you the moment you're saved. But it's in a seed form. It must grow forth, come forth. And where does that growth of love go? In your inner man. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll just start in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. That's your outward man. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. This is what I got so excited about. That you put on the new man, which was created in true righteousness and holiness. See, your inner man was brought to life by the new nature. That's where all the love of God goes. That's where all the knowledge of God goes. All the hours you spend praying in tongues, you are receiving knowledge in the inner man. That's from God, knowledge that will never disappear. And when you mortify the thought on the outside, that's a miracle that takes place. Also, there's the opportunity to grow in the love of God. That you spend time growing in the love of God. Why am I beating this up? I think it's because after all these years, I'm seeing even more how much of other things is just a waste of time. It's going around the mountain again and again. We're not going to get to revival by doing what others have done harder, bolder. If you want to see miracles, you just got to be bold. Well, I said, okay. I did bold stuff, man. I grabbed people out of wheelchairs, drug them around malls. Nothing happened. It wasn't boldness, wasn't the problem. I had to grow up. And then Pastor Jim taught here, Ephesians chapter 2. I'll start in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created. And then he said that word created means, you can tell him, hopefully I do it right. See, I love when I have an image and someone smart comes along and says, yeah, you're right. Created was making something new from something that was already there. Is that a good way of saying that? He's like, that's an Alan way of saying it, yeah. Can you throw it out? It's a confusing word. Created something new out of something that's not there, but out of material that already existed. Yeah. See why I'm so excited? Your new nature was dark. And he brought it to, spoke life, and light came out of darkness. The same way he raised the sun out of darkness, he raised your new nature. But here, the new man isn't talking about your new nature. The new man's talking about your inner body. It also, with the new nature, was wiped clean of all darkness, and now it is as righteous as Jesus himself. This is why you can walk in righteousness. This is why you can walk in holiness. This is why you can walk in the love of God. This is why. Because you are that. But he left you with an outward body that still has desires and wills. So when you will and desire to do something that is against God's will, many of us have a voice come to us and say, well, we need to, okay, I won't go to die, but I'll go to church. God tells you to do something, you hear a negotiation. Okay, we'll do it, but let's do it this way. How many have heard that before? Well, where is that argument coming from? That's your outward man. Trying to negotiate. The outward man's soul, the outward man's mind, will, and emotions is arguing with the inner man's soul, the inner man's mind, will, and emotions. See, when God speaks to you, he speaks to your inner man, leaves your outward man out of the picture. And then you have an outward man who is fighting you. And that's why you have to first win that battle with the outward man before you can go. You want to go ahead and start fighting demons. Many of us were like Pastor Bronk said, taught how to go bark at demons. And they're there like those dogs eating, playing cards. And you're out there, yip, 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 yip. And they're like, yeah, no worries. Because the authority isn't there. You have the word. Well, and this is where I felt like, in my preaching this week, I was to draw a line in the sand to help make it clear which side are you on. And it's not a side of us against anyone else, but it's a side to clarify this is what we do. See, I won't ever ask this 11-year-old girl to go drive the car until she's mature enough. There was a man who was had a daughter at 14 who could drive. She knew how to drive. And she said, I want to take my friends home, Dad. Can you drive them home? And he said, I'm tired. I'm on the couch. I'm just tired. You take them. They're just a couple of miles away. So she got in the car, drove her friends home, had an accident, and they all died. And that man was charged with murder. And the judge said, you put your daughter in a position to where she cannot handle the responsibility that you let her have. So you were the adult in the room. Now I want you to listen to me. Let me talk to you from a position of, let me prophesy to you. How's that sound? If I say that, then people listen better. Thus saith the Lord. How many of you are barely here because some preacher told you to go do something you weren't mature enough to handle? And you went out in the name of following God, serving God, went out and tried to do a work for God, crashed and burned. Thank God that He rescued you. Many of us had to be rescued from the ashes because we thought we were doing the will of God. Some preacher told me, get out there, win souls, get out there, pray for the sick, get out there, do these things. And off I went, la, la, la. And he sent the 11-year-old to go drive the car. And I crashed and burned and started to struggle with myself and battle with myself. I was rescued by the message of Pastor Dave, pray in tongues, it'll change you. I had no idea what it was going to do in me. I didn't know all the things it did do to me for many, many years. I thought I was just being wise, but it was the fruit of the prayer and the Holy Spirit. I have people come to me often. You pray too much. You're locking up those people at the prayer center. You're just praying, seeking God. You need out and go win the world. I understand that. If you have an opportunity, share the gospel. I think that's great. But there will never be a day that I see your calling as less valuable than mine. That I'm going to tell you to go do something and take you out of what God's telling you to do to go pray and seek Him. So what God is building in this family, the two trees that I saw, the carnal tree, which has the gifts of the Spirit, which has God moving through people's callings, he has experiences with the Holy Spirit on the outside, is where the majority of the church is today. But the other tree, the authority of love, which means you can have more of God's love. You can grow in God's love. You don't have it when you're born again. You have a little bit of it, but you have to go get it from God and put it in your inner man. And then it's yours. And that's the authority that He'll use for you and you and you, no matter what you're calling. That's the only way we're going to see Joel's army come into action, where you're walking around not as an 11-year-old barking at the devil. But you step in the room and you walk in the authority. God's the power, not you. You have no power to raise the dead, cast out demons. It doesn't generate inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is waiting for someone to have authority so He can rescue people, so He can save people, change their lives, turn their life upside down. He's lacking the authority. And that's the growing up. That's the growing up. That's the tree of love, that you grow up in that authority. You take that authority, not of the Word of God. I have the authority of the Word of God. That's the start. I believe the Word is true. Everything else is a lie. That's the confession. That's the start. But when does it change? When He has the authority. How do I get that authority? How do I go from being an 11-year-old that God will never ask to go drive a car? But God, it says here, I should go do this and do that. I got prophecies that I'm supposed to do this and that. Well, you're just 11. Well, when does it happen? Next year? Well, that's up to you. You can grow up as fast as you want, or you can stay the same. That's why we keep preaching, pray in tongues, fast, worship. I went to Brazil with Pastor Dave. I'm using that because we did three conferences a year there. Two services a day, 5 days a week, and other places. Every service, he would end it with an altar call for someone to pray in tongues. You understand? You have 10 services with 1,000 preachers. First service, you need to pray in tongues. Get down here right now. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 people. And that's, Pastor Dave, you got almost 9% baptized in the Holy Ghost out of baptized preachers, Pentecostal preachers. Next service, Monday night, same group. You need to pray in tongues. Get down here if you don't pray in tongues. Another 30, 40, 50. That's the second service. Well, Pastor Dave, I don't think there's anyone left. Third service, you got to pray in tongues. Fourth service, I'm like, Pastor Dave, you got to squeeze blood out of a rock. How are you going to do this? And they kept coming. He kept finding them. Pastor Dave, when are you going to move on? When are you going to change your message? You ever wonder that? When are we going to get to the deep stuff? When are you going to begin to activate us and put us to work? Go pray in tongues. Go pray in tongues. When I first moved here, Gary, let me help you. No, I don't need your help. No, yeah, I'm not helpful. I'm a good helper. Yeah, no, don't need your help. Go sit and pray. Gary doesn't know what he's talking about. Tim would just shut the door and say, I love you, click. I know what you want already. All the men of God here forced me to sit down and pray in tongues. Wouldn't harness me, even me begging them to harness me. Because they saw the value of God in me. We can't give you what only God can give you. A service can't give you what you can only get in the prayer closet. The word can't give you the authority to make those principalities move. But the love of God in you is where the authority comes from. That's where the growing up comes from. And then you see the word of God come truth in your life. What I'm discovering and why I'm so adamant lately about certain things is what he's showing me about the tree of love, the pathway, the relationship, to cause the authority to let God do what he wants to do in my life. None of it comes from the world. It only comes from God. If I want to renew that new man, if I want to build up the authority of love, the authority of knowledge, in that new man, my inner body, if I want to build it up, it only comes from thoughts that originate in God's mind, truth that originates in God's mind. It doesn't come from a motivational message, a good teaching. It has to originate in the mind of God for my inner man to take it and grow. The love has to come only from God. I can't get it from someone laying hands on me, someone speaking over me. I have to get it from God. I can't get it anywhere else. I can only get it from my time in worship. Otherwise, I stay 11 years old. I'm tired of being 11 years old. Well, how tired are you, Alan, of being 11? Well, I'm tired enough to go spend more time praying, more time in worship, more time in the Word. Because that's the only place I find the material for that authority of love to grow. And that's the only place you'll find it. There are other paths to the miracles, but you have to be an evangelist. There's other paths to prosperity, but you have to be an entrepreneur. But there's a path for you to have all of God, and that's His love. Well, I didn't mean to preach, but Avery, you preached too much, but you did a good job. Give her a big hand clap. I want to just close with saying this, that it's an honor to walk with you and beside you for all of us. It's an honor that you came and made the effort to come and let us speak into your life. And it's an honor to see what God is doing and building and growing. We don't need another organization. We don't need another church that does something better. We need a church that does it right. And trust me, when God has His way, why is it we have this box here? We'll always point to our box. Why is it when we have this box here with broken children, with mamas, you know that a mama who gives birth to a broken child, that's a life sentence of serving that child. Why can't we even raise the money to buy a plane ticket to send them somewhere where they can find Jesus on this earth? Why is it that we've gone generation after generation after generation of preaching over the airways, preaching, motivating, encouraging people to change the world? How's it we've gone generation after generation with not even one Jesus showing up on the earth where a mama could take her broken baby to? What's wrong with the system? We're not trying to make the system better. We're not trying to be bolder, stronger, louder. We're simply trying to build the right one. Love. So Jesus can show up. And it can be through you. It can be through all of us. So we're just blessed that you're here. I'm just so just amazed at hearing what God's showing all of us. What God's showing you. What God's showing the preachers up here. And how He's very single-minded. We've heard the word laser-focused. That He's got you on the run, on a pathway of growing. He's not letting you go. You've tried like me to wiggle out of it. Can I do something else? Can I do a little less? Can I try this? And He won't let you go because He thinks you're going to make it. He thinks you're on the right path. Anyways, I love you and so blessed that you're here. What a wonderful week we've had. Amen. I'll give it to Pastor Braun.